Welcome to the Victory Worship Center podcast. For more information, visit victoryworshipcenter.com.
Well, good morning. Morning. It's an honor to be up here with you this morning, and I am going to be speaking to you in fear and trembling that I communicate what I feel like the Father's been stirring in my heart for several months. And a lot of what you may hear, there may be common threads of what Miss Irma also felt led of the Lord. So just notice the different words and things that I say. And she and I did not collaborate or share notes, but we certainly are in sync with what the Lord's saying this morning. So thank you, Miss Irma. So before I start, I want to say this just as a disclaimer for those that don't know me very well or know me personally. For me to be calm or dialed down, it takes great self-control. My natural default is very, let's just say, kind of up here as far as the energy and all that kind of thing. So to be a little, to be able to communicate with you in a way that you'll be able to understand me and me not to talk 90 miles an hour and move at 100 miles an hour, just so you know, Father will help me have great restraint as I share what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart to share with you today. So a few months ago, probably back in February sometimes, a friend of mine who I had not seen in years reached out to me as a sister in the Lord and began to share with me some personal things that she has been walking through that are pretty severe and pretty tough. And the layers and years of her just being weary and tired, just tired. She loves Jesus. She knows she's going to heaven. She's a good wife and mama and person, all of those things. She's, you know, check, check, check. But even so, the word says you're gonna walk through trials and tribulations. There's gonna be storms, there's gonna be wind, there's gonna be tough times. So she was just explaining to me that she's weary and just sort of just saying as a sister, just be in agreement with me. I could use all the prayers I could, you know, get right now. So of course, after we hung up, my heart was heavy, and it was heavy for days. And I just began to say, Lord, what is my part? You know, what is my responsibility? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What can I share with her in this moment that will deeply encourage her to the core? And so as I began to pray and meditate on that, the Lord just as if I heard his voice audibly, but I didn't, but within my spirit, what I heard was, you tell her, change is on the way because my providence is present. Amen. Change is on the way because my providence is present. Not even quite sure what the word providence meant, you know, in that sense. I began to research and look that up, and here's what the word providence means. It means foresight, making provision, which is to see ahead and provide. The protective care of God or of nature as a spiritual power. And then lastly, divine intervention. When I read those words, it's as if they leapt up off the page straight into my heart because I knew that's what she needed to hear. She is a daughter of the Most High King. She needed to hear that as a daughter of your heavenly Father, he's about to intervene for you. Yeah. The word intervention means to come between. That's right. So get a picture of that real quick. Divine meaning of the deity, holy nature of God. And intervening, wow. So the two of those coming together on my behalf, on her behalf, man, this thing began to explode in me. And so I began to dig a little bit deeper, and I said, Lord, what does that look like practically? I mean, what does it look like? And I got a revelation that the providence of God is the outstretched arm of Father. It is the arm of the Lord. I want to bring you to a verse in Deuteronomy 7, 17 through 19. Perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them? You saw it with your own eyes. and remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand and the powerful arm of God, which with he brought you out of Egypt. I want to camp on that for a second. Because you see, every one of us, we have had, we are having, or we will have a time in Egypt. Now to you, it may not be a physical place that you are living or that you're residing, but it could be a person, or it could even be a thing. It could be an illness. So again, when I read this, I was elated because it again confirmed providence, the outstretched arm of God. The strong hand and the powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. You see, because when we're saved, when you're saved and you become a daughter and you become a son of your heavenly daddy, there is no place. There is no place. He says, whether you make your bed in the depths or on the mountaintops, literally in hell or not on this earth, no matter where you are in this world, in this life, and what you're going through in this precise moment, there's no place or place that you can be or go that his arm is not too short to stretch out and to reach you. There's no place. And again, my prayer for us this morning, brothers and sisters, is that we get the revelation of the providence of God. To me, that's the should be the very core of our foundation of salvation. Because think of this. Scriptures just started to become just illuminated to me once I really just grabbed and sunk my teeth into this verse in Deuteronomy. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. In order to give, it often requires your hand, which is connected to the arm. So his outstretched arm gave us the very most important thing we would ever and could ever need in humanity is salvation. We have got to get this solidified in here, because once we can get this part of our core foundation, we can build upon that. So that's at the very foundation, salvation. I beckon you, if you are not saved in this place, be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth that you are a sinner, and this day receive the providence of salvation. So moving forward, even beyond that, I have another verse that I wanted to read. All right, so there was another one, and here it is in Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you, and this one will probably not be on the screen, so just hang tight. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So often we can get so wrapped up in our circumstance, our situation, that we forget that he is with us continually. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. So what is this basically telling you and me? He is my all in all. He's your all in all. You're never alone. You're never too far out there or too far in your moment of pain or crisis that he cannot find you and that he is not present with you. And amazingly, the supernatural providence of your heavenly daddy will find you because it is supernatural in nature. This blows me away too. Part of the definition of providence is seeing beforehand. So because providence, the providence of God, is supernatural in nature, it knows your need before you even have it. Because we often wonder, why God? Why me? Why? I feel like I've done everything that you wanted me to do. I'm trying my best, God. Why me? I don't have that answer for you, but what I do know is it doesn't matter what, how bleak it looks, how bad it looks. We've got to get to a place where our focus is not on the thing, the situation, the circumstance, but that it is on knowing in here. Not just here. You gotta meditate on this. You gotta chew on it. You gotta think about it day in and day out. So it becomes a part of the core of who you are. And when in doing so, then we get a revelation of the providence of God. And I'm telling you right now, I've gone through some tough stuff. And I'm here to tell you, there were times that I was flat on my face before God saying, God, why me? Why did this happen? I've tried so hard to do it the right way, the godly way, the kind way, the good way. And this still came against me, God. Why? It feels like you've left me alone. And sometimes the next thought would even be to die. In this situation, with this circumstance, is this really my lot in life? But I'm here to tell you that when I began to cry out to him, the simple words started spurring on in my spirit. Because you see, before we can move to this place here, from this place, there's got to be a time of brokenness. And that feels sometimes like, oh, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be weak. I'm just going to suck it up and be tough. Well, that is a lie from the enemy. Because even David, one of the most talked about men in the Bible, he cried out to God. And he said, oh, Lord, my God, help me, save me. David cried out to God. And so part of moving in this journey is being willing to just be real with God. And I don't mean you got to do it in front of a crowd. Not necessary. I'm talking by yourself, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in your closet, prayer closet. We just moved into what I call a tiny home. It's not really. It's a single-wide mobile home. Give it up for the trailers. Yep. My closet, I was telling my sister-in-law about it. You know, some people have for a closet a spare bedroom. You know, it's like a room. You could put bed in there. You can put a little sink and kitchenette in your closet. Well, my closet is what you call a turn-in, or a pivot closet. You just basically, you turn in and you turn out. That's basically, hey, God's good. I'm not complaining. But it really is. You just kind of pivot in, grab your thing, and you just walk straight out. So anyway, but there have been times in my tiny closet that I've gone to get something, and man, something's been heavy on my heart. And I'm not going to lie, I have shut that door and just dropped on my knees in that place and just said, God, you alone are my strength. You are alone are my provider. You alone are the one that fills me when I feel weak and weary and when I feel mistreated or whatever the case is. You alone are the one that fills this. I'm going to quit looking to man for this. I'm going to quit looking to people for this. Let my eyes be on you, Jesus. Let my eyes be on you. I want to take a quick walk down memory lane with the life of Esther. Many of you know the story, and if not, go watch the, I'm sure your kids have the VeggieTale thing, right? Isn't there a VeggieTale with Esther? Yeah, it's kind of similar. Anyway, but thinking about the life of Esther, we all know, yay, Queen Esther, woo, she did good things for her people. But to really diagnose and look at that book kind of step for step, the whole residing message of the book of Esther is the providential care of God's people. The providential care of God's people. You have a young woman who at an early age was orphaned. Her parents passed away, left her all alone. There was a huge void in her life. God brings along her godly uncle, Mordecai, to bring her in. What did he do? He provided for her. Then watch how this chain of effect works. See, because sometimes we get so wrapped up into our little life, our little world, our four walls, and we forget that often God blesses you because it's supposed to pass on to others. It's not just supposed to stop here in my bank account. No, it's supposed to move on to the next, to the next, to the next. And so God provided Mordecai for Esther. Mordecai became not only a father figure, but a counselor, a guide. He encouraged her. He motivated her. He spurred her on. Then from this beautiful life, she became submissive to this. And the Bible says she was very lovely. She was beautiful. And I believe when God, you know, he doesn't put anything in here by accident. When I hear in the Word of God someone's beautiful, can I tell you, I first think of their heart. I think, man, she was a beautiful person. And I'm sure she was lovely on the outside as well. But I was like, man, that's awesome, God. So she had a beautiful heart. She was submissive to her uncle. She was willing to do what it took to go the extra mile. So by following the instructions of her uncle, she begins sort of being in this interview process to possibly end up one day being the queen of the king of Persia. Now here we go, little Esther, whose lot in life looked pretty bleak. Maybe not to make any importance, any significance, probably not going to have a voice, probably going to be maybe looked upon as, you know, maybe somebody of a very little value because of her upbringing or maybe her situation. But again, because of her beautiful, godlike heart and her bend towards God, not perfect heart, but her bend towards God and her submission, God began to let her outshine and be more attractive than all the other women in the land. And little by little, she caught the eye of the king. Well, before long, she becomes queen. And little did she know that becoming queen, she could have just said, "Whoa, I have arrived. This is what I've been waiting for. Hello, I have made it. Thank you, Uncle Mordecai, because life is looking pretty good." She could have totally just been satisfied and blinded by the blessing. She could have gotten to a place of comfort, and rightly so. My gosh, everybody would have been, "Oh, good job, yay. Oh, Esther, oh, I was so worried about you. I'm glad you're doing okay. Oh, look, now you're queen. That's amazing. Go, girl." You know, we all would have been cheered on Esther. Yeah, she made it to be queen. But it could have just stopped there, and everybody probably would have been okay with that. But God's plans and ways are higher than our carnal thinking. You see, it's not just about this. We have got to get kingdom perspective. So fast forwarding, you know, the enemy hates good stuff. He hates it. So he worked through Haman, which at the time was the king's personal, like, right-hand man, to devise a plan through many series. Go, you know, read the story for yourself. But to basically abolish, annihilate all of the Jewish people, all of God's people, which happened to be Esther's family and her own people. So here she is, queen now. And through her uncle, she gets word through the wicked Haman, who was at the time the king's second in command, through a series of jealousy and other things, that your people are about to be gone. Well, of course, her uncle couldn't take this. He tore his clothes, it says, and he just began wailing, and he was so, so distraught over this. So sends word up to Esther. "Esther, you got to do something. You got to do something. Come on. You're in position now. You can make a difference. Go to the king and plead and beckon for him to change this. Do it, Esther." Well, she's still flesh. She's still human. She says, "Are you kidding? I can't do this. He hasn't summoned me. If I go without being summoned, I'll most likely perish. You don't do that. That's like against the law in the palace. You don't go to the king without being summoned." Word goes back to Mordecai, comes back up to her, and basically tells her, "Listen, this ain't just about you, beautiful, oh, Queen Esther. I love you, and you're precious to me, but I need you to think about a greater vision right now. And for such a time as this, God has seated you in a place where you can make a difference, a place of purpose for such a time as this." And so Esther began to you know, get a vision of this. Matter of fact, she said, "Okay, you know what? If I perish, I perish. But I will not go down not doing anything." So they fasted for 3 days and three nights. Long story short, she ends up going to the king. And through a series of events, he pardons her people. And God, watch this, God's providence through Mordecai, through Esther, changed a whole people. Isn't that incredible? That blows my mind. Again, think of where she came from. Think of her natural circumstances. It would seem impossible for that to happen. But because of the supernatural arm and providence of God, he used a small girl to make a huge impact for her people. Amen. I love this saying. It just really resonates with me, and I'm going to read it a couple times so we'll get it together. Fear will beg you to focus on the problem rather than God's promise. Let that sink in for a second. Fear will beg you, it will beg you, it will gravitate you towards focusing on the situation, the problem, rather than the promises of God. You see, Esther had two choices. Both felt scary. It felt like, okay, we're going to die or I'm going to die. I mean, what's, you know, they both feel scary. But one gravitated towards fear, the spirit of fear. The other one gravitated towards, okay, Father, I'm going to step out in faith. You see, sometimes God will put you up against a situation and it looks like option A and B. It looks like there's no other option. But in Christ, there's usually an option C. Sometimes it doesn't look like A or B, and what we picture in our brain, he just says, would you just step out in faith and trust me and let me do the rest? You quit trying to overanalyze and let me do the rest. The enemy of providence is fear and unbelief. And you know what I find interesting about the word providence and the word fear? They're both nouns. That's right, nouns. For those of you that are really big into English and grammar, when I think of a noun, I think of a person. Of course, you got a person, place, or thing. But again, what does this tell us? They're both natures of something. Providence is the nature of God-like. Fear is straight from the enemy. So again, when we're walking in this life and we're thinking about those things, providence and the fear are opposites of one another. And there's times in our life that we have to trust in the providence of God and dispel fear. How do we do that? We have to combat fear. Let's look at Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Now, we all know that a hand does not work without an arm. Here we go again. I'm seeing the arm of God. I'm seeing the arm of God in this verse. And then Deuteronomy 31:8. And this one will not be on the screen, so just listen carefully. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. I read this earlier. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Again, often we let fear control us so much to the point where it freezes us up and it locks us in a type of prison, if you will. How do we combat that? You got to do it with the Word of God. That is the only thing on planet Earth that I have found, for me personally, that actually breaks the spirit of fear off me, that actually compels me to walk out in faith, that actually moves me toward more of the things that God's calling me to do. We've got to be people of the Word of God. Some of us have asked us, why am I still walking through this thing? I don't know why, but what I do know is if you will get your eyes off that circumstance and point it towards Jesus, you will begin to see him move in your way, in your life like you've never seen before. I want to read Matthew. This is kind of lengthy, so I want you to stay with me. Matthew 6, 26 and 34. One thing I want to point out before I read this is this whole passage is in red, meaning it is the words of Jesus. It is literally the words of Jesus. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not work to make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly take care of you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or drink or wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers.
But your heavenly Father knows all of your needs. And this verse just was illuminated to me when I was reading this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings enough worries of its own. Again, he's saying, live in today. Live in the moment. Live in the journey. And when I read this in Matthew, and again, the words, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. When I saw that, I couldn't help but think of the life of Peter. And so in Peter 14, verses 25 through 32, I know I'm reading a lot of verses, but I want you to grasp and be able to sink your teeth into this. This is where Jesus walks on the water. So immediately, I'm going to jump over to 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified. Of course they were, because what is always our default fear? I mean, that just shows you. Even the disciples, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples were freaked out, okay? So it's okay. It's okay. If that's your natural default, don't beat yourself up. Just be like, yep, that was scary. Okay, let's move on. Okay. They thought it was a ghost. They cried out in fear. But Jesus said immediately to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, then tell me to come to you on the water. I love this. Jesus is like, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked. Again, this is not made up stuff. He literally got out of a boat and put his foot on water. Now, if I step in a puddle, my foot goes down and it comes to my ankle. He's walking on water, y'all. I mean, this is incredible. So Peter gets down out of the boat. He walks on the water, and then he came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. Oh, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus, what did he do? He reached out his hand, and he caught him. You of little faith. He said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's put this into present day time. How many of you came in this morning and you feel like you are in one of the biggest storms of life you've ever been in? You may have, your heart may be broken. Your heart may be so heavy with something that feels like it almost is as crushing as wanting to just literally end your life because it's so heavy. And it seems bleak. And here you hear me saying, God, your providence, his providence is for you. And I'm saying the verses in the scripture, but you feel like you're just so in it that you're having a hard time even seeing out of it. So what I want to beckon you to do this morning is, first of all, cry out to him. I've noticed there's a pattern in the verses. When God's people and the people of God were in distress and despair, often crying out to him comes first. You just got to be real with it. God, I am struggling. I'm hurting. Open your mouth. Cry out to him. Just even if only you can say, Lord, help me. Help me. Save me, God. Help me. And then what I want you to do is begin to seek first his kingdom. Focus on Jesus, the face of Jesus. You see, because as long as Peter was focused on the master, he was focused on his salvation. He was focused on, in that moment, his rescuer, which again, see the providence of God in all of this. See, the providence was there all along. When Peter started to sink, it wasn't because God removed his providence, it's because Peter began to look at the problem over the promise. As long as we get to a place where we keep our eyes fixed on his providence, and God, you are good. If that's all you can say is, Lord, I trust you. I'm hurting and I'm even kind of mad at you right now. But what I can say is, help my unbelief and let me trust you Let me trust you. Let me get my eyes off the circumstance, off the wind and the waves and the storm, and let me seek first your face. And knowing that, because you're a good daddy and you're a good, good father, you care for me so deeply. Even the smallest things that I think no one knows about, you know. You know. And I have to tell you from a personal experience, there have been times in my life, I've had people say throughout the years, oh, it must be easy being a pastor's wife. Oh, it must be easy, you know, getting to be a missionary. And it must be, I'm like, dude, follow me around for, I don't know where you got that. But just because we may be in a ministry position or, it, you know, something along the lines where to you it may look easy or simple, hey, the devil is no respecter of persons. He's still going to knock on the door, and he's still going to come and try to create issues and problems and tough times and heartache. So I just want to remind you that it's not about easy or tough or this is hard, God. It's about having a revelation that the providence of my good, good daddy, which is to provide, take care of, protect me, be there to fill me, be there to heal me and restore. It's present in your life. As a son and a daughter, you don't have to ever question that again. You can know that that is a part of his God nature. That is a part of who he is to provide and to be present. And again, the beautiful thing about the providence of God is it sees beforehand. God knows your need before you even have it. He knows your need before you even have it. So my prayer is for our church family is that each of us get that revelation so deep within our spirit that we know that we know that we know that I may be in pain and I may be struggling and I may not know the way out. You leave that up to God. That's not for you to worry about. Matter of fact, he commands you not to worry. What he says is, have faith. Trust me. All throughout the Word of God, he tells us over and over, fear not, do not be afraid. The opposite, I want you to trust me. I want you to believe me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to know that I am good. It doesn't matter if your earthly father was not good. Don't compare heavenly daddy with earthly daddy. We got to stop doing that, church. God says that he is a good, good God. And I know from personal experience, because I've seen him in my own life, when there were times in 2005 when we moved away, we weren't really sure. You know, it was a step of faith. There was a lot of fear that came with that. We were bringing our parents' grandbabies away. We were bringing them to a land that they knew not of. There was a lot of fears going into that big move when we left here in 2005. Also the provision, Lord, how are we gonna make it? How are we gonna feed the children? Things of that nature. But I tell you what, we both knew in our heart that was what God wanted us to do. So we stepped out in faith, and I have to tell you, through that year, we saw the providence and the blessing of the Lord in a way that overwhelmed us. God's blessing began to come into our life so much so that we were able to bless other families that were at Christ for the Nations. Again, that wasn't promised to me before I left. That wasn't God put it in writing. No, we just had to step out in faith and say, Lord, we may not know much, but we trust you and we believe you. Stop overcomplicating it. Trust, believe. It is time to start focusing on the promises and the providence of God. I want to take the next few minutes, being that it is Mother's Day. Yes, it's great. But the Lord really put in my heart to say a blessing over every woman in this place, because I have a word for you, and it's this: whether you have literally held a child that is your own, or you have the vision of a family within here. And your heart, you have a family. You may be a mentor. You may be somebody who regularly meets with other women to encourage and all of that. I would like every woman, young and old, every woman of all ages, if you'll go ahead and stand at this time, and I mean teenagers too, all women, I'd like you to stand right now, of all ages. I just really felt led before we left today to say a blessing over you, because I knew this was going to happen. Lord, help me. Each and every one of you women in this room, God has ordained you. He has put it within your nature to nurture. He has put it within your DNA to nurture, to be a caregiver, to mentor, to love on, to inspire and encourage. That is unique to your specific person of who God created you to be. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Some of you may say, that is the furthest thing from my thoughts and mind. Well, can I tell you what? The way that God designed you and created you, it's a part of who you are. I believe it may be buried under layers and possibly years of pain and some brokenness, but we're going to declare over you this morning. So I'm a picture person, so I'd like y'all to just raise your hands like this. Just what we're saying is, Lord, I am your daughter. I am yours, God. So every woman in the place, I want your both hands raised to him. Just see yourself just as his vessel, his handmaiden. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray over every woman in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that she is cherished. She is loved, Lord God. You honor her, Lord. You are so pleased with her beauty, God. You have fearfully and wonderfully made her and who she is, Lord. Lord, I pray that you fill her to the very core of who she is, God. If she's lonely, Lord, I pray that you fill her. Lord, if she's sad and broken, comfort her. God, if she's weary, strengthen her. If she feels imprisoned in any way, I pray that you give her such freedom on the inside, Lord, that it doesn't matter her outside circumstances, that she is free, mind, soul, and body. She's free to worship you with her whole heart. She's free to extend her hand, just like you do for us daily, every day, good Father, every day. You reach out, and so often we don't even notice. Give my sisters the sensitivity. I pray that you sharpen, Lord God, their senses to where they see more clearly, they hear more sharply. Lord, even the fragrance of flowers, God, they begin to smell and notice that what an amazing thing that you created flowers and you made them smell so lovely. It just reminds me of your goodness for us and the small ways that we pass by day after day. God, fill, restore. Father, many of my sisters in here today have been believing and standing for a breakthrough. They have been believing for a miracle in their life. Heavenly Daddy, I pray your providence, fill, reach, go to them even now. Thank you for your goodness. Yes, Lord, you are so good. You are so good. Praise you, Lord. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Let's all stand now. Thank you, Jesus. So I thought it would be fitting before we leave today to sing with a song reminding us of the powerful promise of God. And I want you to sing this with your whole heart. Sisters and my brothers, I want you to sing it and declare, because I have one more thing to say. I know some of you men may be in here as fathers, and you may be feeling pretty alone right now. Maybe you've come alone today on Mother's Day. Well, can I encourage you to say, my brother God is with you, and there's nothing too hard that he cannot strengthen you to the very core, that he cannot provide your every need, brother, even if you don't have You feel it may be weak to say it out loud. He knows it before you've even said it. So I want my brothers in here this morning to be deeply strengthened by the providence of your heavenly daddy today. He is with you. Let's declare this song together.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to go to victoryworshipcenter.com to get involved.